one more day till Friday. I'm trying to vary it a little bit.
You are varying it beautifully, and your message is very encouraging.
Well,
you and I are very fortunate. We don't work a long day, and our jobs are
pretty easy.
Extremely easy. Like, embarrassingly easy. But there's a lot of people, you know, we're very big in coal mines, and people put in long hours in the coal mines. They come out of it with black lung disease. And for them, the week, you know, by Thursday, they're like, I just want to get out of here. So that's very encouraging when you say it's almost Friday. They like to hear that in the coal mines.
Bill Leff Unleashed, welcome to it. Glad you could join us. Always a pleasure to hang with you.
Moments ago, you shared something with me off air, and you said, please, don't bring this up on air. So I thought I'd bring this up.
What?
We just had guests on talking about the Chicago International Film Festival. These are films from all over the world and Hungary.
They show
them, and people enjoy them, and they clap. And you said that you had not seen a foreign film since...
Das Boot.
Das Boot.
What year did that come out, Bill?
I was in high school when Das Boot came out. Das Boot, German for the boot.
No, for the boat. Like a U-boat.
Right. And ironically, it was subtitled. How about that? That's it for today, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. So that's a long time between foreign films. To go from Das Boot, I want to say that was out... I think I was a junior in high school when that movie came out.
Yeah, I had
that's
a...
That's Jürgen Prochnow, right? Isn't he in that?
I am not going to pinch anyone. I had a high school boyfriend at that time who really wanted to... Oh, 1981.
1981, we're learning.
Yeah, so we graduated that year. I saw it pre-graduation. A boyfriend at the time wanted to see it, and I'm like,
he
all
right.
He
loved U-boat films?
I love U-boat, honey.
There's another U-boat film playing. Can we please go see it? Only if it's in German. Yes, it is.
Well, I guess I didn't... I should have known when it was called Das Boot that it was going to be subtitled. Needless to say, I was very disappointed when I'm like, wait, I got to read my way through this movie?
Yes.
I will admit that after a while, you really do get used to it, and it was
really... 4 minutes, and then you just go, oh, okay, I have to read if I want to understand this.
I guess I have been opposed to it because I feel like I just want to escape and get away and be wowed with a visual and with an audio-visual experience. I don't, you know, I could just read the book with, you know, a film strip going in the background.
It's true, but you're denying yourself incredible movies.
That's a fact check.
There really is. And can I share one with you that you must see? And I think once you see this movie, this foreign film... You will say to yourself, well, now the floodgates are open. I'm going to keep seeing foreign films. You remember when there was a time where people didn't want to see documentaries because they're like, I don't want to see a documentary. How boring
will that
be? I
was one of those people.
But then once you see one or two that click,
you go, that's all I want to see.
All right. Have you ever heard of Cinema Paradiso?
Yes.
Please see it. Don't just hear of it. Go see it. Because once you see it, you'll go, wow, they make some really great movies in other lands. They're speaking a different language, but the story they tell is so original and beautiful. So see, I'll lend it to you.
I can find it.
Yeah? Sure.
If I can't find it, I'll ask you. Because I've heard of it. We studied it in some film class that I took in college.
But you didn't see the movie?
I didn't see the whole thing we talked about. I don't think so. I don't.
But
can I just tell you?
It, but you didn't see it?
I am one of those people. My kids bring up something from some movie, and they're like, remember when? I'm like, no. And they're like, did you see the movie? I'm like, yeah, I don't remember movies.
Remember.
So I don't...
But
I almost want to say
from Das Boot, right? What do you remember from Das Boot?
It was wet.
It was.
And dark.
It was wet and dark and very confined.
Yes.
It was a very small submarine that they were in.
That was a pretty good movie, I have to admit.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked about it. I almost feel like I saw this. I don't remember anything.
Oh.
But I will need to revisit it. Anyway,
I always recommend that to people who are afraid to see foreign films because it's so original and so different from anything that they would make. Well, not 100% true. They've made similar movies, but just not as good here in the United States. But it's just, and I don't even want to tell you what it's about. I just want you to discover it. Just know it's a great movie, and it's, you know, it's one of those movies that once you see, you go, I got to see more of these foreign films. They know what they're doing, these foreign people.
Where was this one made?
Italy.
I got to see where it's playing. I'll watch it, I promise.
Go see it. We'll go watch it now. I'll wait here. I want to get your immediate reaction to it.
Can I just tell you the new Blade Runner 2049 is 2 hours and 45 minutes?
Yes.
You know what happens after 2 hours for me.
Yes.
Theater ass kicks
yes.
in.
Yes.
2 hours and 45 minutes? Why are they making movies? It used to be 90 minutes. Get in, get out, yeah, enjoy.
Yeah. Well, the average movie comes in at just over 100 minutes. Just a little over, 102, 103 minutes. Because they figured out that that's people's attention span. However, today, our attention spans are a lot shorter. They used to be 102 minutes. Now they're 6 minutes. But Hollywood can't make a 6-minute movie. So instead, they've gone the other route and they've made movies that are longer.
Too long.
Like Blade Runner.
Even Wonder Woman, a little too long for me, gotta
Wonder
admit.
Wonder Woman was long. I don't remember ever, if it's a good movie.
I didn't look at my watch once in Wonder Woman, but when it was all said and done, I'm like, that was a little too long.
That's a long movie, yeah.
Still loved it.
Yeah. But sometimes the story cannot be told in 102 minutes, and they
then
need to.
Then don't make the movie.
But they used to make it because that was people's attention span, and also your average theater wants to have kind of 3 night showings, ideally. You know, they want to do an early night, a midnight, and then a late night. So they almost have to do like an hour and a half or 100 minutes, you know.
All right. And it's Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah.
Not DCO.
No, the version I saw is DCO.
It is not. I always thought it was, but it isn't.
A bootleg.
And no wonder you like this. Just the brief synopsis, and tell me if I'm wrong, a projectionist instills in a boy a deep love of films.
That's it, exactly.
No wonder you loved it. That's you.
It's my story, but in Italy, if I grew up in Italy, that would be my story. Yeah.
A little Willy left.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. And there's so many others. I mean, there's countless other foreign films that you're missing out on that are just so good. And the stories... You know how there's a formula that goes on in American-made movies? Like I can't tell you how many times I've driven past a movie theater and Transformers is playing in 4 or 5 different theaters in that same movieplex, and then there's like a really good foreign film playing in their, you know, their theater that only sits 8 people.
Right.
And you go, oh, come on. People are going to sit through Transformers 5, but they won't watch this?
I'm going to watch Cinema Paradiso.
See if that doesn't change your mind a little bit. Like, was there, like, you used to be afraid of documentaries. Was there one in particular that you saw and you went, oh, this is kind of great?
I don't remember what shed light on the documentary world. I've seen,
Was it Hoop Dreams? Because a lot of people use Hoop Dreams as the one that they go, oh.
I loved that movie.
That was great, wasn't it?
Didn't your friends write that?
No. Space Jam.
Oh, that was the same. That was my second favorite documentary.
It's kind of the same movie.
Can I just tell
without
you,
Bugs Bunny? Bugs Bunny's not in in one of them. I'll leave it
Hoop
up to you.
Hoop Dreams was really fantastic.
It's about two kids in kind of rougher neighborhoods,
yes,
and they realize that through basketball, their lives could become something else. Yeah.
The guy from Kartemkin Films did that. I can't think of
Robert Teitel? Is that his name?
Yeah, maybe. And just, I got this little alert that came over on my iPhone because I am subscribed to all these places like AP, and this is from USA Today.
Yes.
As we're talking movies, I'm going to try and find Cinema Paradiso. Netflix is raising its prices for the first time in 2 years.
Hmm. I'd prefer that they didn't.
Well, they're only raising it $1.
That's not terrible. All right.
From $10 to $10.99.
Because of the sweetened beverage tax?
Yes.
Is this the sweetened film tax? If I see a movie that has sugar involved, if I see Cotton Goes to Harlem, will I have to pay extra? This is terrible. I'm out.
Willy Wonka, you'd be screwed.
I'd owe $1,000 every time they showed Willy Wonka.
Their most popular plan was raised $1 to $10.99 monthly. Subscribers of the $11.99 premium plan, where you can have like 4 people watching on different screens,
yeah,
that's what we have. That's going to see an increase of $2 to $13.99.
That's not terrible.
It's still 100% worth it.
Yeah, if you see one movie a month, you've paid for
it.
What if you do the one, like, we don't get any movies sent to our house at all. We do strictly downloads on Netflix. So will that change, or is that still the same?
The price of the basic plan, which costs $7.99 and delivers... standard definition to just one screen will remain the same at $7.99, but you have the multiple screens.
We have the one that's in several rooms in our house. So
or phones.
Because my daughter's watched on a phone. I never have.
You know, it kills me.
It's too small.
Everybody in the world wanted big screen TVs. I have a 70-inch TV in our family room. And quite honestly, I watch more stuff on my iPad
movies
than I do.
Movies too, not just TV shows?
It has come to the point where I don't like boys because I live with three of them.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to watch something different and at different times.
Oh.
So I've really, you know, I don't call the front room or the family room to watch it. I'll just go watch it on my iPad. I watched all of that Vietnam Ken Burns thing
on a small screen on your phone. I've begged my daughters, if it's a TV show, I don't say anything. Because I go, all right, it's kind of disposable entertainment. Watch it and wherever you want. But with a movie, I beg them. I always go, please watch it on a larger screen. Don't
watch
it on a phone.
What do they say to you?
They say that.
You're pretty cute because you really do have a love of film. And one of your daughters wants to go into filmmaking.
Yeah.
And she still does that noise to you?
Yeah. They don't understand that you're losing so much, the whole scope of the movie. Like, for a long time, when I worked in a video store, you could get movies one of two ways. You could get it on the traditional, like, regular screen, like what a TV screen was 10 or 15 years ago before everybody had a widescreen TV.
Or you could get crazy letterbox, which I didn't even know what that meant.
That's the ratio or close to the ratio you're getting when you see it in a theater. If you watch it on the regular TV, the way they used to show it on TV, you're losing about 25 to 30% of the screen. You're losing everything that happened left and everything that's happening on the right. You're getting the middle, but you're not getting the two sides.
And that's what happened with our old TV, our no-definition TV, not the high-def one.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see the sides of things.
Right.
Ever. You could change the settings, but then it was just better for us to get a new TV. And if you notice, all the new TVs are cut more rectangularly when in essence they used to be completely squared.
So you're getting on a TV now, you're getting the whole picture, but you used to be getting 70% of the picture. So when I had a video, I managed a video store in Downers Grove, and with almost every movie, you had the option of seeing one or the other. Remember on Blockbuster, it would even say on the box, letterbox version or crap version. Well, people would always want to get the one that just fit their TV, and I'd explain it to them, and then you'd see people go, you're trying to fool me. No, I'm not trying to fool you. I want you to see the whole movie. Don't see 70% of it.
Again, you are a film student,
and
film means a lot more to you than your average person, I would say.
Yeah, probably.
And at first, because Jimmy Mack was all into the watching Star Wars and Letterboxd, I'm like, what does that even mean? And he showed me, and I'm like, I don't like the black above and below. Why wouldn't I fill up the whole screen? And then he'd say, because you're missing a portion of it. I don't care. They're focusing in on where the action's going on.
I'm trying to remember the I want to say it's called rotoscoping, but I could be wrong. Somebody figured out a computer program where the computer, you put your movie through this process, and then it figures out where the most important action is. So every once in a while, they show a movie on TV, and it would be bouncing around left and right because the computer would be determining where the most important thing in that particular scene was. It was dizzying.
That was like what they did with NYPD Blue, right?
Yeah, it was. It was almost exactly every episode of
NYPD. Sipowicz's bare butt or his short sleeve shirt and tie. That's where it would always focus.
Those are your options, right.
Well, there should be a class action suit for all these years that I've missed. How many percentages of the movie just watching it in regular?
Between 25 and 30% of the screen is not visible to you if you weren't watching it in Letterboxd. Now, almost everything you're seeing, because everybody has, or most everybody has, a widescreen TV, so you're seeing the whole complete picture, but not back then.
I'm going to start a class action suit. Get me one of the Briskmans.
All right.
I don't know how much a missing 30% of a movie would be.
It's a couple mil easy.
All right.
You got some money coming. You got a lot of money coming. All right, in a little while, we'll get some news for you. Kim Gordon will give you the news, and then there's more show. So stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. The top story is one that is very intriguing. This guy Paddock, the shooter in Las Vegas, we are now finding out. Yesterday it was a rumor, but now they've substantiated the rumor that he
TMZ
had.
Is TMZ the only is one reporting it.
Oh, no one else but TMZ?
At this point, I haven't seen it anywhere else, but it seems like the, you know, the general media have taken off with it.
Yeah.
So ABC's reporting it.
The idea that he may, I guess we have to say may have or allegedly.
Allegedly booked two rooms at the Blackstone.
During Lollapalooza.
I believe it was like August 1st and August 3rd. Had the reservations, but then didn't show up.
Didn't show up. Interesting.
And he booked the rooms that overlook Grant Park that faced several stages.
Now, for someone booking a room like that, you would say, no big deal. You want to get a view of the city.
Of course.
It's funny to me that TMZ is now like a legit news source. It used to be just a lot of celebrities.
They were almost the Inquirer branch.
Exactly.
But then you also almost have to say of the Inquirer, they have broken a story or two that's turned out to be
absolutely
accurate. Right. Yeah. So yesterday they were talking about the same guy, Paddock.
Stephen Paddock.
Doing this at other concerts that he either showed up or had booked a room at other concerts.
Another one in Las Vegas.
Right. Yesterday the Daily Beast was reporting that he had booked one, I think, for the weekend before in the same area.
Yeah.
In near the overlooking the Mandalay Bay.
So do we know?
Or overlooking the concert venue at Mandalay Bay.
I guess it's too early to tell, but I guess the question that needs to be asked was he planning on doing what he did in Las Vegas in other places, or was he just trying to get information for what would eventually be what took place
Sunday night?
Reports have said that killing himself wasn't really his first.
Right. No, I saw that today, that he wanted to escape.
Yeah.
Had cameras set up.
And then wrote a letter, but apparently we haven't learned what's in that letter yet.
Yeah.
He wrote a letter that I haven't heard.
Yeah,
to whom?
I don't know. CNN was reporting that this morning. I saw that he had left a letter.
And the woman that people were looking for was flown in from the Philippines. I heard this, and she had nothing to do with it and
That's what she's saying.
But she has some interesting side stories.
For instance, she
was married to two guys at the same time. She had two sets of IDs.
Come on.
She had two sets of IDs of social security numbers and was somehow able to work it so that she was married to two different guys at the same time.
Can I tell you, one husband's enough?
I mean,
not in a bad way. It's just really.
You and I have discussed
this
before.
But you hear a lot about these people that have double lives.
How
and can
do you pull
it off?
That off?
I don't know.
My wife knows where I am every minute of every day. There's not a single minute.
You're either here or playing tennis.
I guess it's kind of easy for
or
me.
Or home.
Right.
Picking up food.
From one to the other. Yeah. That's my whole, there's no other path for me to travel down. But whenever I hear a story about a guy who's got a family in Seattle and one in Philadelphia, you go, how did you do that?
Well, probably one of his wives or both of them are extremely naive.
They'd have to be.
Or they know what's going on.
They'd have to be. There's no
way. And then aren't they looking for another woman that he was rumored to have been palling around with prior to the attacks?
Yeah, they alluded to this, too.
And then that he had scored like $250,000 he had won prior to this shooting.
Well, there was a story this morning that they think he was gambling up to $100,000 a day. And
he played video poker. That's a lot of money on video
poker. Oh, really? Was that his game of choice?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Don't you know something about that game?
I know a lot about that game. But my total was never near $100,000 a day. That you have to play a lot of video poker to make that kind of a commitment.
You know, I mean, I've been in Las Vegas. I've seen the high roller section.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen like a video poker high roller section or, you know, how does that work?
There are some machines. I'm trying to think of what the highest I've ever seen. It's nowhere near 100. I mean, he wasn't betting it per hand.
No, per hand, but that's... You can spend a lot of time sitting there for $100,000.
There are machines where, you know how on a regular video poker... You guys have both played video poker at some point, right?
I've seen people do it.
Right, so your average machine
We're virgins for that.
You put in five quarters, so your commitment is a dollar and a quarter. Sometimes you can do more, sometimes you can do less, but that's your average. And you get one hand, but there are machines where you can play up to 100 hands at a time.
Wow.
You know, you get dealt the same
five
cards.
So it's the same as the slot machine where you can play one line or every line, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you keep your games separate? I guess that's why he could have two different wives, because he learned how to keep things separated.
No, he didn't have two different wives. It was his girl.
Right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But he didn't look like, I mean, he did not look like a guy that was able to spend that kind of money.
No.
Although I say that, and I can't tell you how many times I would be sitting at a blackjack table and some guy would sit next to me and throw down $100 a hand or $200 or $500 a hand. And you go, what do you do that you're able to play a $500 hand of blackjack every couple of seconds.
I'm just thinking of you, and this high roller comes and sits next to you and throws down 100. Do you just like give him a look? Do you say hello? Do you greet people that come to your table? I don't know what the gambling etiquette is.
Most casinos,
people are friendly and talkative when you're sitting at the tables.
Most people are not.
One time I was we were kind of standing around the high roller section, and Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan were there together at the table, and it was obviously drawing a big crowd, but they weren't so friendly.
But
the normal Joe is very friendly.
That's when I would have gone and sat on Michael Jordan's lap.
They wouldn't let you over there. But we were definitely watching.
There's always a high stakes area that's kind of roped off where
for VIPs and celebrities.
Guys and girls who spend a lot of money per hand, and it's roped off because they don't want degenerates like me, you know, staring at them. Hey, you're Michael Jordan. They don't need that. There was one time at the Rio in Las Vegas. So I think you and I have discussed this at some point, Wendy. If I am, I apologize. But a lot of times at blackjack tables, people are very friendly, but you always get a guy who thinks that whatever and there's some truth to this. Whatever card you either take or don't take will affect his hand, and they let you know, don't mess up my hand. And I was playing with a guy who was doing that to everybody at the table. And I said to myself at some point, I go, all right, you want to be that way? I'll be that way. So I was purposely taking or not taking cards to mess up his hand.
So you weren't even trying to win. You were trying to mess him up.
I was betting $5 a hand. He was betting $100 a hand. So it was worth it for me to blow $5 a hand just to screw with this guy because he was such a jerk.
But in that case, then he's, you know, if he's that big of a gambler, he should have gotten up and walked away to a table where there were other people betting $100 who knew what they were doing.
Right.
Because a lot of time, if you sit at a $5 table, there are people that are rookies. They don't know what they're doing. If you're going to bet that much money, you need to move.
Right, right. Well, eventually, after doing this, and he was on to me by the second or third hand that I was just messing with him. So he goes, ugh, and he goes and he walks away for a second. And then the dealer said to me, he goes, you don't want to do that with this guy. I do what? He goes, I know what you're doing. He goes, you don't want to do that with this guy.
So he was a regular.
Either a regular or dangerous in some capacity.
Was carrying.
Yeah.
So did you leave?
I stopped doing it. Yeah. I did another hand while he was gone, and then I left.
Well, I took the time last night to watch the video of all the people that perished in Las Vegas.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm.
I had to watch it.
Yeah.
It made me sad. It made me cry. But I felt it was my responsibility to look at each and every one of those pictures and learn a little about these people.
So there's a story attached, their story
On one of the videos, there was just a little something about these people. And I noticed a lot of the people, the photos they had given was that stage behind them. So maybe it was taken from their social media accounts that they had posted, like, look, we're having a great time at this concert, the Route 91 or whatever it was called. You could see that in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really heartbreaking to watch.
How many were teens or children? Because I know I interviewed the man who's the head of Lutheran Charities here in Addison who takes the comfort dogs to different places.
Yeah.
And he said, first of all, these are the most dogs he's ever taken to one place at one time. They have 16 dogs there from 7 states. And he said that they were going to visit in Las Vegas, I believe an elementary school and 2 high schools because there were victims or people injured from those schools in Las Vegas.
Wow.
I didn't see the younger victims, and maybe they didn't have all 59.
Well, maybe they lived. I mean, maybe they, you know, maybe they were just injured in the hospital. Yeah. And were in the hospital.
It was just
I know some kids did perish because when they were talking about it initially, they were going through the how varied everybody was, and they said some kids had been killed. And that's, I mean, every one of it's wrong, but you think about that. Some kid's life just ended for no reason at all. I always wonder, as ghoulish as this guy was, the shooter, had he had access to these people's stories, could he still have done this? If these stories were out prior to the shooting and he read about these people's lives, could he go, yeah, that's still my plan?
Well, you know, his brother said, you know, he sends cookies to my mother. You know, he calls and checks on our mother. So, I mean, it's just, things just don't add up.
Right, right.
And, you know, this is a horrible, horrible tragedy. And you think about it, there were, what, 30,000 people at this concert?
Yeah.
At Lollapalooza, you get over 100,000 people over a 4-day period.
I know. I know.
And that's what started our conversation here is Chicago Police Department said in a statement today that it was aware of that TMZ report about the Blackstone booking during Lollapalooza, which, as Kim mentioned, drew hundreds of thousands of music fans. Former President Barack Obama's daughters, Malia and Sasha, were there. Mayor Rahm Emanuel. They're saying that we are aware of the media reports and have been in communication with our federal partners. And the reports come as investigators work to determine a motive for the Las Vegas shooting. It shouldn't be too hard to figure this out, to check with the Blackstone Hotel and say, you know, were these rooms reserved? But they're not commenting at this point. And it's been moved to the FBI as opposed to Chicago Police.
You know, it may be evidence or something else that they want to save. And I mean, you know, who knows if. I mean, we believe it was a single shooter, but...
Yeah.
And then there was a video going around on Facebook where there's this one guy who put some video of the shooting as it was happening, and he's pointing...
Body cam guy?
He's pointing out that it looked like a shooter on the ground.
Really?
You can find all this stuff on the internet, and that's why, you know...
You have to be really careful.
You do. But it's just, you know, his... conspiracy thing. He's the only one who's showing this at this point, but I saw it last night. He's pointing out what appears to be another shooter shooting from the ground within the confines of the concert. But as I watched it and watched it, I don't see a weapon. I see somebody crouching down. But you know what? That's what you do when bullets are flying all over the place.
They were saying that, you know, well, I mean, there were police there. There were people that had their own guns. I mean, who knows what was going on at the time?
Right.
People were running for their lives. You know, and there were also multiple reports that there may have been more shooters coming from above, but because they had so many 911 calls from other casinos saying that they were hearing gunshots, but it appears it may have just been echoing and vibrations from all those big buildings.
I can imagine.
And then yesterday, Las Vegas police said Paddock had rented hotel rooms near a concert featuring Chance the Rapper in Vegas last month.
Oh, scary. Very scary.
He had rented several rooms through Airbnb at the Ogden Hotel in downtown Vegas. The dates he was there corresponded with the Life is Beautiful Music Festival, which was held on September 24th. We won't know, I have a feeling.
No, probably not.
We're not going to know.
Did either of you see the footage? The guy who's in charge of the investigation in Las Vegas was doing a press conference. This was on Tuesday afternoon of what we know so far. That was kind of the theme of the press conference. So there's three questions in a row where they ask him a question. The press asks him a question, and he goes, I don't know the answer to that. And then another one, I don't know the answer to that. And then a third one. So then he goes, let me clarify. With a lot of these questions, when I say I don't know the answer to that, I do know the answer, but it's not information that we can give out. And it kind of got a laugh from the press because they already assumed that or knew that, but it was just him kind of acknowledging, you've seen cases like this where we have information we can't share.
Until it's a closed case.
We're
not going to release that.
Right. So it was just it was a moment of honesty in a very difficult time.
Which you like to see.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Although reporters should know better.
Well, it's their job to try to get as much as they can out of them, especially at a story where everybody just wants answers. And, you know, the answers will come, but eventually some won't, you know. But, Kim, I said this downstairs. Once we know the motive, it won't help in the future.
No, it's not.
It just won't.
Although we were just pulling some tape in the newsroom about a security analyst from Chicago was interviewed, and they were saying, you know, what can you learn from this tragedy to prevent it from happening in the future? And he was saying, you know, tougher hotel security, more surveillance.
It does seem weird that he got all those weapons into that hotel.
I mean, that's the one
and
thing
set up cameras in the hallway. House cleaning comes in to clean the room. Did he not let them?
Well, that's what I wondered about house cleaning. And then it turned out, I learned at that press conference on Tuesday, that he had stopped. There were several days where he said, the room is fine. And I don't know if you've ever done that in a hotel. I've done that a couple times.
Too.
Just go, we'll take
or
care of
Or you're in the room and you know, you don't want turn down service or whatever they're doing. You know, you're like, or come back, you know.
Yeah. So that's how he got around that, is he point blank said, I don't need any hotel services. I'll take care of everything myself while I'm staying here.
But if you think about it, I mean, some of those Las Vegas hotels are so immense.
Right.
They're so huge. There are so many people wandering in and out all day long. I mean, I know even before this horrible tragedy happened, there was such concern about Las Vegas and 9/11 because there was...
Yeah.
You know, just there's so many people coming, wandering in and out all the time.
Yeah, it's very transient. when we first heard of this, I was trying to figure out the transportation of the weaponry up to his hotel room. And a lot of people texted and said, you know, you could hide it in golf bags.
Sure.
There's so many different ways to hide it. But it is, Las Vegas is the hardest city to escape cameras of any city in America. There's cameras everywhere. And somebody said yesterday, I was reading somebody who was in charge of security, and I can't remember which hotel on the Strip, but one of the hotels, and he said, we're doing it because we're concerned about our money. We don't want anyone taking our money. So because of that,
right,
we have cameras
everywhere,
in every square inch.
Yeah, but if they have pictures and video of him gambling, what does that tell us about...
Not so much the gambling, but just the transportation of the weapons. It's like, wasn't there any red flag when you saw this single guy taking all this heavy...
Well, and it's very strange because I've checked golf bags in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And as soon as you come up in your cab or car or whatever, that's the first thing they do.
They like,
can we check? Can we check your golf bags for you? You don't want to take those up to the room, right?
Right.
You know, and they store them for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
They immediately like give you a tag and tag them and take them to a room somewhere else.
So how was he able to do this without anybody saying, well, this is peculiar that
right.
this guy has so much.
Somebody, yeah.
When I think about going to Nashville, Michael did a blues camp there. We had a amp. We had a lot of stuff. So we just got one of those carts ourselves, loaded it up from the car, and went up to our room. No one looked at us.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen in Vegas. There are a million bellhops. I mean, for the most part. Unless
right.
you've got pulling one little wheelie suitcase, somebody usually is taking
your stuff. Yeah, but they're, and, you know, I don't know. Should we start checking bags? You know how long that would take? I don't know.
Yeah, that gets tough, I guess.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm willing to be inconvenienced a little bit if it's going to help prevent something like this from happening. And again, the whole automatic weapon thing, am I ignorant by saying only military and police should have those? I don't know.
I'm on board with that.
I'm on board with that.
Because even if you're a hunter,
right?
I thought you'd do it for a sport. You know, my brother used to hunt for just a very short amount of time, but he would hunt with a bow and arrow, and because that's kind of a sport. He caught a rabbit. Rabbits are fast. He was very proud of himself for doing that.
Does he dress like Robin Hood when he does this?
No, and he only did it like one summer. I think he just wanted to see if he could. He took archery in high school.
Have you ever held a gun in your life? I never
no.
had a gun in my hand.
It was the most uncomfortable.
Does a Nerf gun count? Super soaker?
That's as far as I go.
After the L.A. riots, a friend of mine who lived in Los Angeles started carrying a gun everywhere he went with him. And I was always uncomfortable when he had the gun. And we were working together in Baltimore, and we went to a restaurant that he said it's a slightly dangerous area, and he had the gun.
Here's an idea. Pick a different restaurant.
Nothing's worth that.
The restaurant was really good, so it was worth it. But it was a restaurant. You know how every town has a restaurant where Chicago has a few of these, where maid guys hang out. It's just like in the movies.
Yeah.
When you walk in and you go, I'm in Goodfellas. I'm looking
right.
around. I'm in Goodfellas.
Oh, my God. I just went to a restaurant in New York. I swear I was in the middle of the Godfather.
It exists.
Yes.
That does exist. Well, in Baltimore, this restaurant is known for that. And actually, when we went in there, he left his gun in the car. And I go, hey, you forgot your gun. He goes, not in this place. I'm not bringing it in there. Anyway, while he was on stage in Baltimore, right before he went on stage to do stand-up, he goes, come here. And he hands me the gun. He puts it in. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I can't take this on stage. You got to hold it. So for 40 minutes,
you
I had a
did?
Loaded. Yeah.
That's not like you.
I'm sweating like crazy.
Was it locked? I mean, were you
obviously.
I hope so.
What do you mean you hope so?
You didn't ask?
I didn't. He just goes, hold this while I'm on stage, and I've got it in my jacket.
It's not like hold my car keys.
No, I know. I would have just said, no way, man. I ain't holding it.
I was trembling for 40 minutes.
Oh, I would have been sweating bullets, no pun intended.
Oh, it's very uncomfortable. But, yeah, I know there's some people that feel the need to have them. All right, fine. I'm not one of those people.
And I don't criticize people who go through the legal channels and do
no,
it.
No, me either. You're right. I mean,
and I have to be honest with you. I've seen friends that I know from long ago. I don't see them now, but on Facebook, I've seen them at a gun range. I don't know that I'd be opposed to going to a gun range and shooting something with someone teaching me how to do it, but I never want to own one.
No.
I really don't.
What about the argument? People always bring this up, and I don't understand it, so I'll bring it up. There are other free countries where guns are just plain not allowed, and those societies seem to manage very nicely without the guns. They do very, very
well. I've heard a lot of people say that, and I mean, I don't understand why. I don't know. Do you just not want to take guns away from people because it's our right to have it? I mean, our right is to be good to people, too. No one's following that.
Haven't we proved as a society that even though they're few and far between, we cannot handle it?
Not everybody can handle
right.
it.
Right. I mean, take anything you love. I love tennis, but if somebody goes, there's a lot of people killing people with tennis rackets, so we got to take them away. I'd go, oh, all right, if it's going to save some lives, here's my tennis racket.
I love motorcycles. I love to be a passenger on a motorcycle. I will not get a motorcycle because I feel like I couldn't handle it. I'd go too fast. I wouldn't wear a helmet, so yeah. I will never buy a motorcycle.
Yeah, but you're so that's self-governing, which is huge from whether or not the government has some say in it. But I think we've proved once again that our society cannot handle guns, that the average person is fine with it. But there are people out there like Mr. Paddock who has ruined that for society. And maybe we need to do something about it. And like everybody has said, there will be a lot of talk about it for the next couple of days. And then next week, there will be almost no talk about it and it'll go away.
Well, and Senator Durbin said earlier this week that the only way to change it is to vote for representatives
right.
of people who are willing to change the laws.
Right. Is there, I don't know if you saw this, but we talked about it downstairs. Jimmy Kimmel showed behind him during his monologue the other day all the people that made it easier, not harder, but easier in the last year to get guns, including people who have various mental problems. It became easier for them to get guns. And foreigners, it became easier somehow for them to get guns. So is there a list somewhere where we can know who these people are and vote against them? There must be somewhere, right?
I'm sure there has to be some gun lobby that would...
All right, but listen, none of us know, so how do you find that information?
Well, but maybe, people release their platforms, what they stand for during election time.
The gun lobby would be promoting these people, right?
Right, the NRA would...
Saying, here's the people that are on our side. If you like them, vote for them.
Right.
But the rest of us need to know who these people are, too.
And to vote against them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what to tell you.
And now more stuff.
No, I just want to completely switch gears because I want to say that there was a birth in my family. Can we talk about something good?
Congratulations, please.
My niece, Kara, already has Adeline, her two-year-old daughter, Addie, we call her. And yesterday, my niece, Kara, gave birth to her first son. So now she has one of each. Aww. Micah Allen Allard is his name.
Oh, I love
and
the name.
Micah is a beautiful little boy, just under 8 pounds. Mommy and baby are doing fine, so I am a great aunt, yes, yet again. I've always been a great aunt, but, like, legitimately, I'm a great aunt times two.
That's wonderful.
Wendy, people always give how much the child weighs, but they never give the height, the inches.
He was 21 inches.
21 inches.
Everybody gives the inches, too.
Yeah.
You don't have to throw it back.
Do not throw that
child back. He's not quite two rulers.
Right. But he'll probably grow more as time goes on, wouldn't you think?
One would hope.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You know, we'll see what happens. I'll never forget when I was pregnant with Michael. They said he was going to be so big that they induced me and said, we got to get this kid out of you. According to all the ultrasounds, he's going to be like a 10 or 11-pound baby. And I'm like, oh, no, can't be doing that. So they induced me maybe a week early, and he was 7 pounds, 6 ounces. It's
my brother was 10'4" when he was born.
Oh, no.
He looked like he was a three-month-old baby. He was the biggest kid, the biggest baby you've ever seen. You know, this was back in the day before they did C-sections or no.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he should have been. But C-section or been taken early. He
came out with hair.
He was huge.
Was he dressed?
He had a mustache.
And now he's like tall and skinny.
He is.
Yeah, it's really funny.
But, I mean, this was 18 years ago. You'd think that ultrasound had been perfected enough because they measure everything, you know?
Yeah.
And to be able to be that wrong, I mean, that's a 3-pound difference.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big difference.
That's a huge difference. Are you getting used to the fact that you will soon be a grandmother?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm definitely getting used to
that. Does it shock you? Do you go, wait, I can't?
Yes, it does shock me. I think to myself, like, could this really be? You know, yesterday was my middle son's birthday. He turned 28.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, oh, my God, I have a 30 and a 28 and a 25-year-old. This just doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't,
you don't know where the time goes.
Right.
And you look younger than that.
Yeah. Oh,
thanks.
Yeah.
You look younger than 30.
Do you go through, I'm sure you both go through this, I do. We have pictures of the girls at all stages of their life, and just to walk down a hall and I see a picture and I go, well, that was taken almost a year ago. Oh, wait, I mean 18 years ago or something.
No.
I see a picture.
I always put up like a little Facebook or Instagram thing for my kids wishing them a happy birthday with old pictures.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to look at them. And you're like, wow, you just...
Right.
You blink and it's over.
It's so strange.
Every year when the kids get their, the school photographer takes their pictures, which the school has got to get a new photographer because those guys are terrible. They're terrible. They really are.
Has there ever been a good one?
I didn't do retakes this year. Dylan is a freshman in high school, and he decided not to smile because he still has braces.
Oh.
So he's got this goofy face, and he's pretty proud of the picture. He's like, oh, look, you can't see my braces. And I said, let's do picture retake day. He goes, no, I'm good with it. So I spent money buying these pictures because I like to hang the 8x10s up every year.
Yeah.
And I think they're terrible. There are other people who, like, hair is out of place. Fix it. It's all digital now. It's
right.
Pretty easy
you
to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't. And then the reason I bring this up is because every year I put the new picture on top of the old one.
Yeah.
So you take the pictures from their very first baby picture when they were 1 year old, and it just makes me cry looking at all the years.
You could make a flip book, like a Benjamin Button flip book, and just show him getting younger. That'd be fun.
All the pictures suck, though. Walmart was actually better.
Do you remember back in the day when you were little and your parents took you to Kmart or Sears and did that whole little picture portrait thing?
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening, I don't think.
We didn't do it, but everybody we would visit, they'd all
or you just go to the store and see it happening.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And kids were crying, and they're trying to, like, make kids laugh
the
with, like, squeak toys and stuff. Yeah.
Can I just tell you, you know, you mentioned, I mentioned it's the day before Friday. We really have an easy job. Could you imagine being a child photographer trying to get that kid to stop crying and smile?
All day, every day?
Nope.
No. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
My pleasure.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll close it all off. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We might be on overtime again.
Are we doing overtime again?
It's going to be 102 right now.
The time will be 102.
Thank you, Felicia.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Why didn't they get you, Felicia, to do pre-Hawks and post-Hawks games?
And now, your Chicago Blackhawks.
That's beautiful.
I've completely lost it.
I can't believe you didn't get the job.
In many ways.
That's it for today, everybody. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. Tomorrow, Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow's Friday, Wendy. So we'll discuss many new topics and hope you'll enjoy us then. That's it for today. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.